This week's parsha is Parshas Truma, and we will start with chapter 25, pasuk number 1 and 2. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Daber el bnei Israel, speak to the Jewish people, ve'ikhu li truma, they should take for me a offering or a portion, me'eis kol ish, from every person, asher idvenu liboy, that his heart will motivate him, tikhu esterimosi, you should take my portion." The pasuk is saying that Hashem is asking for the Jewish people to give a donation in order for us to build a tabernacle, to build the vessels that go into the tabernacle. That's why we require to have a donation. There is an interesting Medrash Peliya, which is called a perplexing Medrash, brought by the Tana Dvei Eliyahu. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu is referring to last week's Parsha on chapter 24, pasuk number 7. There it says, "Vayikach Sefer HaBris." Moshe Rabbeinu took the Book of Covenant. What is the Book of Covenant? It's an agreement between Rashi and Rambam. Rashi believes the Book of Covenant is the history of the Jewish people from Bereshis until this point. The Ramban believes the Book of Covenant is actually Parshas Mishpatim, where we got a sample and where we actually accepted certain mitzvahs. So Vayikra ba'oznei ha'am, and he called in the ears of the people, Vayomru kol asher dibar Hashem na'aseh v'nishma, and they said, "Everything what Hashem spoke, we will do and we will hear." We said first we will do and then we'll hear. These are the famous two words that are always quoted, na'aseh v'nishma. Most people think it's in Parshas Yisro, next to the Ten Commandments, but it's actually on Parshas Mishpatim, and it means that we said that we will do, and then we will hear. The Medrash on Tana Dvei Eliyahu says, "Beshah she'omru Yisrael na'aseh v'nishma." The time the Jewish people said na'aseh v'nishma, that we'll do and we'll hear, miyad, right away, Amar Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told them, "Vayikhu li truma," that they should take from me an offering. All the Meforshim are bothered, what is the connection between na'aseh v'nishma with Vayikhu li truma, with making a tabernacle or taking offering to Hashem? There must be a connection besides the fact that they written one after the other, that the parsha of na'aseh v'nishma is written right, Vayikhu li truma, but there must be a connection between them. And what is the connection? Why right away Hashem said Vayikhu li truma? The simple interpretation of this Medrash could serve as proof to the Ramban. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban if Parshas Truma is written in its proper order, before the sin of the golden calf or after the sin of the golden calf. Because the sin of the golden calf is only related to us in Parshas Kisisa, which will be in 2 weeks Parsha. We have Tetzaveh and then we have Kisisa. Tetzaveh deals mostly with the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, and then we have Parshas Kisisa, where there we have the description of the sin of the golden calf. So the question is really, is the sin of the golden calf before the tabernacle, or is the tabernacle or the commandment to build the tabernacle before the sin of the golden calf? Everybody agrees that donations weren't actually received till after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the second tablets after 120 days on Yom Kippur. But the question is, was the commandment to build a tabernacle independent of the golden calf, or was it only after we sinned in the golden calf that we were required to build a tabernacle as form of atonement? Rashi on Parshas Kisisa, which is chapter 31, pasuk number 18, there Rashi clearly says that the tzivui, the commandment to make a tabernacle, to make a mishkan, was only after we sinned in the golden calf. As part of the atonement process for the golden calf, that's why we were required to make a tabernacle. If not for the golden calf, according to Rashi, we would have not had to have a tabernacle. Maybe all that we would be required to do would be an Aron, a ark, because since Moshe Rabbeinu broke down the tablets, we would have been required to put the tablets somewhere. we would be required to make an ark to put the tablets in it, but the rest of the Mishkan, the Mizbeach, and everything else, we would not be required to do, according to Rashi, if not for the sin of the golden calf. But the Ramban believes that the parshas are in order. The Ramban says that once we receive the Ten Commandments, and Hashem gave us certain laws, which is Parshas Mishpatim, and then He made a covenant with us, and prior it's written on Parshas Zisro, beginning of Parshas Zisro, it's written on chapter 19, Pasuk number 5, there it says, V'ato and now, im shomea tishmo bekoli, if you will listen to my voice, ushmartem es brisi, and you will keep my covenant, which according to the Ramban, it means the Parshas Mishpatim, which is the Book of Covenant, the Sefer HaBris that is mentioned right before we said Naseh V'Nishma, V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, and you'll be to me as a treasure of all the people, Kili kol ha'aretz, and Pasuk number 6 says, if we maintain the covenant, if you promise to keep the covenant, V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests, V'goy kodesh, and a holy nation. So you cannot have a kingdom of priests unless you have a tabernacle where to serve. We require to have a house for Hashem. And the design of the Mishkan was specifically done that way to teach us, once we had revelation, Hashem wanted us to take that symbol of revelation with us all the days of our lives and all generations. And He explains that the same way that is written last week's Parsha, on chapter 24, Pasuk 16, Va'ishkoin Kvoid Hashem al Har Sinai, that the glory of Hashem rested upon Mount Sinai, so too by the tabernacle after it was built, on chapter 40, Pasuk number 34, there it says, Ukvoid Hashem Moles HaMishkon, that the glory of Hashem filled the Mishkan. And in the same way that during Revelation, the Jewish people were warned not to get close to the mountain, and they encircled the mountain from far. And then the Aharon and the elders and Nadav Avihu were able to come a little closer. And only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to communicate directly with Hashem to go up to the mountain. So too in the Mishkan we will have the Jewish people staying around far, and then certain Kohanim be able to serve in the tabernacle itself, and only the Kohen Gadol be able to go in the Holy of Holies and communicate directly with Hashem. According to the Ramban, we would have a Mishkan regardless of the sin of the golden calf, because the purpose of the tabernacle is to perpetuate the experience that we had during Revelation, during the giving of the Ten Commandments, where we spoke directly to Hashem. And the purpose of the tabernacle is to be a visual tool for you to remember that experience, and you won't forget your relationship with Hashem, and you will know that the Torah is true because of that experience. Now, according to the simple interpretation of the Medrash, we could say it's a proof to the Ramban that as soon as we said Naseh V'Nishma, as soon as we accepted the covenant, which is Parshas Mishpatim, like I mentioned, the Pasuk before says that we said Naseh V'Nishma on Sefer HaBris, on the Book of Covenant, which now refers back to the Pasuk in Yisro, which says that after we receive the covenant, we promise to maintain the covenant, then we will become a kingdom of priests. And you can't have a kingdom of priests unless you have a tabernacle, a holy place where they could serve. So therefore, Hashem, right after we said Naseh V'Nishma, Miyad, right away, to fulfill His part of the promise, He told us to build a tabernacle, so like that we could exercise the job of being a kingdom of priests. Sefer Divrei Yosef tries to answer this Medrash, and he brings the idea that it is possible for us to say that the Mishkan came as atonement for the golden calf, and yet the commandment for us to build the Mishkan could have been even before we did the golden calf. So as the parshas should be in order, that first it came the commandment Truma, and then it came the golden calf, and yet even before we did the golden calf, we were already required to build the atonement for the golden calf. And he explains it based on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. There the Gemara is talking about the pasuk in the Megillah that says, Achar advarim o'ela, after these things, that Gidel HaMelech HaChashverosh, that HaChashverosh made Haman big, that he made Haman in a position of importance. And the Gemara questioned, why is it written Achar? What events is it after that caused Haman to become a viceroy? So the Gemara answers that it is after the events of Esther becoming a queen and Mordechai saving Achashverosh's life. The Gemara says, in the name of Ish Lakish, that Hashem, for the Jewish people, he always puts the healing before he puts the affliction. He always puts the refuah before the makkah. The other nations of the world, he puts the makkah, the affliction, and then he heals them. But the Jewish people, he creates first the healing, and then he creates the affliction. Which means Hashem already put in place Mordechai and Esther to save the Jewish people, even before we started having trouble from Haman. Before Haman was even a threat, Hashem already had put in place Esther and Mordechai to save us. The question that the Divrei Yosef asks is, what difference is it if Hashem makes the healing before the Makkah or the Makkah before the healing? What difference is it that Hashem puts the healing in place and then he gives us affliction? Hashem could always give us the affliction and then heal us. So what's so special about the idea that Hashem, because he loves us, he puts first the healing and then he gives us the affliction? Explains that Hashem's heavenly court works in the system of justice. True that Hashem could always intervene anytime he wants, but mostly Hashem likes the heavenly court to work in a straight system of justice. So he says that what happens if somebody sins and that person deserves to have an affliction, he deserves to have trouble. So if he doesn't have enough merits in order to create a healing for him, it is very hard. It requires to have a lot of merits. So therefore, Hashem, because Hashem loves us, Hashem first puts the healing in place. And then when we mess up, when we do something wrong, then the prosecuting angel comes to Hashem and says, you know, these people did something wrong. And now, since the healing is already in place, all it's required is a very small thing, a very small amount of merit, because the healing is already there. You don't have to create the healing. The healing is already in place even before that. So therefore, the prosecuting angel has no arguments against the people getting healed. And he explains that that is the idea that by the Jews, Hashem always puts the healing before he puts the affliction, because Hashem loves us, because Hashem loves the Jewish people, he makes sure that the healing is already in place. And then if you sin and do something wrong, then we don't require to have so many merits, because we don't have to create a healing. The healing is already in place. So therefore, we are able to be saved. So he explains, that's pshat in the Medrash, that as soon as the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. And according to the Gemara, as soon as we said that, we achieved a level of angels. So now we are deserving of Hashem's love. Hashem loved us before, but now we are truly deserving because we actually committed ourselves to Torah and to Hashem. So now we are truly deserving of Hashem's love. As soon as we got to a high level, so Hashem right away, before even we had a chance to sin and to fall from that level, Hashem commanded us to build a Mishkan. True that the whole purpose of the Mishkan is eventually going to be as atonement for the golden calf. The same way that the whole purpose for Esther becoming a queen, even though it was a couple years before, it was also for her to be a savior for us against Haman in the future. So too, Hashem, because Hashem loves us, Hashem told us to build a tabernacle even before we had actually sinned, in order for the tabernacle to be a source of healing, a source of atonement for the sin that we are eventually going to do. And he explains that is pshat in the Midrash that says that as soon as the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do, we'll hear, Hashem said, ויקחו לי תרומה, that build me a tabernacle. True, there is no purpose for the tabernacle now, but eventually I know you're going to sin, then eventually I know you're going to do the golden calf, and when you do the golden calf, then since the tabernacle is already in place, the commandment of the tabernacle was already done, then you don't require to have many merits to be able to survive the golden calf, since you have the tabernacle, and the tabernacle serves as atonement for the golden calf. Another interpretation on this Medrash, that as soon as the Jewish people said, Nase v'nishma, Hashem right away told us, Ve'ikhu li truma, that we should take an offering to Hashem, is the idea of mitzvah, goreres mitzvah. That if you do one mitzvah, Hashem gives you the ability, or Hashem makes sure that it's followed by another mitzvah. And explain like that, that Hashem wants to teach us a way to be able to conquer our Yetzer Hara, to conquer our evil inclination, because a lot of times we make commitments in our heart and we want to do something, but yet when it comes time to do it, we falter and do not follow through. For example, people that want to learn more, but and they make commitments they're going to learn more, but somehow when it comes actually time to take a shir or to learn more, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, finds it that you don't have time or you find an excuse why not to do it. So the way to circumvent that is that as soon as you have the feeling of a mitzvah, a feeling of wanting to learn and wanted to get closer to Hashem, or feeling of any other mitzvah, you should right away follow through by making an action, by making a mitzvah. Because the only way to solidify and to concretize your feeling is by following through with a mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't have to be the same mitzvah that you are thinking about, but since the rule of mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one mitzvah pulls another mitzvah, so a person should right away do something positive, do a mitzvah, and through that mitzvah he will concretize his feeling and he'll be able to follow through with his commitment. That's why as soon as the Jewish people make the commitment of Nase v'nishma, right away Hashem tells them, you know how you solidify this commitment? Is ve'ikhu li truma. Right away, build me a tabernacle. You have a positive commandment to build me a tabernacle. That will solidify the Nase v'nishma. That will be the catalyst to make sure that Nase v'nishma is complete. Or you could explain according to the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim is on chapter 26, Pasuk number 1. There he explains the idea of the curtains, that we have 10 curtains, and he explains the 10 curtains are keneged, a representative of the 10 commandments. And he says 5 in one side, 5 in the other side, because there were 5 commandments in one tablet and 5 commandments in another tablet. And then later on he says there was 5 curtains and 6 curtains, and they are connected with the hooks. So he explains this is the 5 books of Moses, and the 6 Sidre Mishnah, the 6 sections of Mishnah, which is part of the oral law, which they are connected to each other through the hooks, which symbolizes that the written law and the oral law are always connected. They cannot be separated because one is dependent on the other one. And we know the Torah stands on 3 pillars, like the Mishnah in Ovis. Chapter 1, Mishnah number 2 says, Hu ayo oimer, he used to say, Ashloisha dvarim ha'olam omet, on 3 things the world stands, ala Torah, on Torah, ala voida, on service to Hashem, val gemilas chasadim, and of acts of loving kindness. And we know that in the Mishkan there was the Aron Kodesh that was in the Holy of Holies, which signifies the Torah shebichsav, the Torah that is written, and outside it was the menorah, the shulchan, and the mizbeach hazav. There was the menorah, the table, which you have the showbread, and you had the golden altar. And these 3 things signify the 3 pillars that the world stands. The menorah, which signifies the oral law with all its flowers and all its design, which signifies the oral law. Also, the menorah was made to give light, and the pasuk says, Ner mitzvah, candle is a mitzvah, the Torah or, and Torah is light. So the menorah signifies the hidden light of the oral law. And then the shulchan, the table, which signifies gmilas chasodim, acts of loving kindness, because normally from our table, the food that we give, that's supposed to be acts of loving kindness. And the shulchan also signifies parnasa, and normally we do chesed with money. And the mizbeach, which is the altar, which is supposed to signify service to Hashem. So the idea is that if you look at the Mishkan, you remember the three pillars of the Torah, and you also remember the Ten Commandments and how the Torah, the written law and the oral law are connected. Therefore, the pshat in the Medrash means to say that as soon as the Jewish people said Na'aseh v'nishma, that they will do and they will hear, Hashem wanted them not to forget that commitment. So Hashem told them, Vayikchu li truma, go ahead and build me a tabernacle, and by you building me a tabernacle, you won't forget the Torah, and you will think about all the pieces of the tabernacle, how they are connected and what they represent. You will see that they will remind you about the Torah, and they will remind you about your commitment that you made by Na'aseh v'nishma, that you will do and you will hear. And according to this, we understand also a very beautiful Balaturim. The Balaturim says that Vikhu li truma, the word truma is the letters Torah Mem, Torah of 40. And the question was, what does the Balaturim mean to take me Torah of 40? We actually asking for donation to the Beis HaMikdash. How does it put in the words, Vikhu li truma, take to me an offering, which means Torah of 40? How does that connect to the next pasuk that tells you that you have to build the tabernacle? According to this Medrash, comes out that the whole idea of the Truma, the whole idea for you to build a tabernacle, for you to get a donation to build a tabernacle, is for you to remember the Torah that was given in 40 days. And by you looking at all the pieces of the tabernacle, you will come to remember what you did, that the commitment that you made of Na'aseh v'nishma, because everything in the tabernacle reminded you of the Torah that you accepted. So that's pshat again, that by us saying Na'aseh v'nishma, right away Hashem wanted us not to forget that commitment. So in order for us not to forget the commitment, He told us to build a tabernacle, and the tabernacle will be a sign of the Torah, like the Baal Turim explains that every piece of the tabernacle was a sign or was a remembrance for the Torah. And like that, you will remember your commitment. The Kedushas Yontev answers this Medrash with an answer of the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe on Parshas Truma asks a question: why was it necessary for Hashem to tell us to build a Mishkan? Why couldn't Hashem send down a Mishkan from heaven? The same way, in the future, when Hashem will build the third Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says that Hashem will send the Beis HaMikdash from heaven. So how come when we built the Mishkan, Hashem didn't send a Mishkan directly from heaven? So he answers that the reason that Hashem did it is the famous saying, the Tratza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakas Israel, that Hashem wanted to marry the Jewish people, that each Jew should have a portion in the Mishkan. Hashem wanted that each particular Jew should have a connection to the Mishkan. So therefore, he wanted that every Jew should bring a donation. Had he brought down from heaven, then nobody would have a connection to it. But Hashem wanted the Zakois as Israel to give merits to the Jew. So therefore, he decided to ask for donations, and each person would have to donate for the Mishkan. So the Kedushas Yontev asks a question. There is a Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni, Parshas Toldos, which says that Yaakov and Esav divided both worlds. When Yaakov and Esav were inside Rivka and they were fighting, like it says, Vayisroitzetzu Abanim Bekirba, that they were fighting inside Rivka, the Medrash says that at that point they decided to divide the inheritance of both worlds. Yaakov decided to take Olam Haba, the world to come, and Esav decided to take Olam Hazeh, this world. The Kedushas Yontev asks a question: if that is true, then how can we have any wealth in this world, particularly any extra wealth, let's say even wealth to survive we could have, but how can we have any extra wealth any wealth that we have, it technically comes from Esav. If it comes from Esav, then it's technically stolen. How are we allowed to have any wealth in this world? So he answers that since the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peiches Amud Aleph brings down that imloy brisi yomam v'layla, that the pasuk says, if not for my covenant of Torah, chukos shamayim v'oras lo yisamti, that the decrees of heaven and earth I would have not put, which means that if not for us accepting the Torah, then Hashem wouldn't have created the world. Like Rish Lakish brings down, Vayere vayivoker yom hashishi, and there was night and there was day, the sixth day. Every other day of creation is written, there was night, there was day. Fifth day, there was night, there was day. Fourth day, but on the sixth day, the word hashishi, the sixth day, is written. So Rish Lakish asks a question, why is it written hashishi? Why is it written the sixth day? Rish Lakish answers that is referring to the sixth day of Sivan, the famous sixth day, not this sixth day of creation, the famous sixth day of Sivan, when the Jewish people said Naaseh v'Nishma and they accepted the Ten Commandments. That's what it is referring to. And what is the reference? So the Gemara says, in the name of Rish Lakish, the Hashem made a condition that if we accept the Torah, the sixth of Sivan, then the world will be maintained. If not, if the Jewish people do not accept the Torah, then the world will be destroyed. So it comes out that anything that Esav gets, any Olam Hazeh that Esav has, is only in the merit of the Jewish people accepting the Torah. And since Esav did not do anything for this world to deserve this world, that the only way that you could do something to deserve this world is by accepting the Torah. So it comes out that in the merit of us accepting the Torah, therefore the world was created and continues to exist, that we are saving something that was going to be destroyed anyways. That by Esav alone, the world have been destroyed, because since Esav did not accept the Torah, and if he doesn't accept the Torah, then Olam Hazeh is worthless, because Hashem will destroy the world. So it comes out, the only reason that the world is able to stand is because the Jewish people accepted the Torah. So it comes out, by us taking any wealth, it is like we're saving it from a flood, that the flood would come destroy it anyways. So now you're taking the wealth, you are saving it from the flood. So every time we have wealth, true that Esav has Olam Hazeh, but Esav himself would not be able to keep his Olam Hazeh, because if you don't accept the Torah, then there is no Olam Hazeh, there's no this world anymore. So it comes out, everything that we take is because we save from the flood. By us accepting the Torah, we're saving the world, and everything in the world is saved by us. So it's like almost like you take something out from something that's going to be destroyed anyways. But according to this comes out that if we do not keep the Torah, then we technically do not deserve to have this world. If we do not keep the Torah, then everything that we take from this world is stolen from Esav, because we are no better than Esav. That only by accepting the Torah, by keeping the Torah, that's when we are able to keep our money. But if we do not accept the Torah, we do not keep the Torah, then technically, since Esav deserves the Olam Hazeh, we have no reason to take it from Esav, because it's technically Esav's. We are only allowed to take it because it's like saving from the flood. But it's only called saving from the flood if you keep the Torah. Because of the Torah, that's how the world was maintained. If you don't keep the Torah, you are no better than Esav. Then you are technically stealing from him. So the only way that we could give a donation to Hashem, since Hashem does not want us to give donations from stolen money, and that's one interpretation they bring down, that the halachas of Mishpatim precede Truma, that Hashem does not want you to give donations from stolen money, that before you give donations, you have to find out what is kosher money, what is proper money, what money is yours, what money is not yours, what money you shouldn't use. So that's why Hashem, before he asks for donation, gives us the law to know which money is yours. And for sure, Hashem doesn't like you to give donations with stolen money. Hashem detests somebody who gives donation with stolen money, somebody who steals and decides to give tzedakah because, number one, he does a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, he does a mitzvah, positive commandment that comes through sin, and second, that he's giving tzedakah, he feels that by giving charity, that will justify his stealing. And the charity he gives will cause him to steal more. He's required to steal now because he made a pledge to tzedakah. He made a big pledge, he can't afford the pledge, so therefore he feels that he's required to steal. So Hashem, the test, hates a person like that. So it comes out that as soon as Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, as soon as Jewish people make a commitment to receive the Torah, then automatically we are saved the world. And by us saving the world, because we said Nasa v'nishma, we accept the Torah, then comes out the wealth that we have now belongs to us, because it's like saving from a flood. So now Hashem could say, V'ikholi truma, give me a donation. Until now, if he didn't accept the Torah, then all our wealth belongs technically to Esav. But once we accept the Torah, now our wealth is like saved from the sea. Once the wealth is saved from the sea, it's really yours. Now, if it's really yours, then you could give donation, because now the donation is not stolen. So according to him, the Medrash that says that as soon as Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, automatically the money became the Jews, because up to that point, the money technically belongs to Esav, and Hashem wanted us to build a tabernacle, didn't want the tabernacle to come down from heaven, but he could only do it after we said Nasa v'nishma. Up till then, we couldn't do it, so as soon as we said Nasa v'nishma, Hashem told us, V'ikholi truma, they should take a donation and build a tabernacle for me. The other answer I want to say, based on the Masech Eliezer, on the Medrash that says, B'shah she'gdimu Yisrael v'omru nase v'nishma, as soon as the Jewish people said nase, we will do, v'nishma will hear, omru malachi ha'shore zifna ha'kodesh baruch hu, the angels said to Hashem, t'na oitcha ala shamayim, why don't you put your glory on heaven? This Medrash is very hard to understand. What is the connection of the angels complaining that they want the Torah to remain in heaven, specifically after the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma? The logic would have been that they should complain that they want the Torah before we said Nasa v'nishma, before we attained a high level. So what does the Medrash mean to say that as soon as the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, then the angels came to Hashem and said, give your glory into heaven? As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Beis brings down that when Moshe came up to heaven, the angel went to Hashem and says, why is man here? So Hashem said that man came here to receive Torah. So the angels complained, how is it possible this beloved treasure that's hidden here for you 974 generations before the world created, and you want to give it to man? Why is man that you should give the Torah, and what does he do that he deserves it? Leave your glory in heaven. So those words that the Medrash brings down, that was the argument for the angels for Hashem. So Hashem goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, give them an answer. The exact words that the Gemara uses is Hachzer Lohem Tshuva, which is the normal interpretation, means give them an answer. We will see that the interpretation could mean something very different. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts asking them, and he says, what's written in the Torah? The Torah is written, I'm Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt. And then it's written, do not steal, do not kill, do not do idol worship. The question Moshe Rabbeinu asked them, Kina yesh b'neichem, yetzirara yesh b'neichem, do you have jealousy among you? Do you have evil inclination among you? Obviously, the Torah doesn't apply to you, since you cannot transgress the Torah anyways, there is no reason to give the commandments if it's impossible for you to transgress. Automatically, miyad hoidu l'Kodesh Baruch Hu, they admitted that Hashem is right, that the Torah belongs in the earth, because since the man has a yetzer hara, so the Torah was written for man. But comes out according to this Gemara that the only reason we receive the Torah is because we are men and we have a yetzer hara. We have an evil inclination. But if you wouldn't have a yetzer hara, then the angels would have had the same argument that there is no reason for the Jewish people to receive the Torah, they could leave the Torah in heaven, since it's already in heaven, then it could remain in heaven. The Medrash says that when the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, neka yetzirah melibam. Then the yetzirah was taken away from their heart, and they achieved the level of angels. So comes out, the Masech Eliezer explains that that's Psati Medrash. That as soon as Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, now they lost the yetzirah. If they lost the yetzirah, now they have the same level of malachim. They are the same level of angels. Then why are you going to give the Torah to mankind? Why don't you leave the Torah in heaven? Are you going to argue what Moshe Rabbeinu says, that you don't have a Yetzer Hara? Man doesn't have a Yetzer Hara either. If the Yetzer Hara is uprooted, then we cannot steal, and we cannot kill, and we cannot idol worship. So that's what the Masech Eliezer explains this Medrash. I wanted to say that this Medrash has to do with the Medrash that we are discussing, that as soon as the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, Hashem said v'ikhu li truma. Because there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Avdalat Umat Beis, which is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, V'omar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Le'os Yisrael es ha'egel, Elo liten pischompe le'bal tshuva. That Hashem made or allowed the Jewish people to do the golden calf only to give opening of the mouth for somebody who is penitent, which means that somebody who is doing tshuva, Hashem wanted to give encouragement that even if a person does a golden calf, still is allowed to get atonement for it. That even if a lot of people do the golden calf, even if a tzibur sins, you shouldn't think that you don't have any more hope, that you made such a huge crime that it's impossible for you to get repentance or get penitence on it. So Hashem made the Jewish people do the golden calf only to give encouragement for people to repent. The Gemara is very hard to understand. You mean to tell me that Hashem will cause us to sin only because of that? But according to the Masech Eliezer, the Masech Eliezer says that once we did Nasa v'nishma, we achieved the level of angels, and now that we achieved the level of angels, now there is a criticism that we do not deserve the Torah, because since we are the same level as the angels, and we don't have a Yetzer Hara, and they don't have a Yetzer Hara, there is no reason anymore for us to receive the Torah, since if we don't have a Yetzer Hara, we cannot steal, we cannot kill, and we cannot do idol worship, then we are exactly the same as angels. By what priority do we deserve the Torah more than the angels? So in order for us to merit to receive the Torah, Hashem made us fall and sin in the golden calf in order for us to show that we still have a Yetzer Hara. True, we achieved only temporarily a level of Malachim, but we still have a Yetzer Hara. We still deserve the Torah, and we still are able to do the Torah by choosing our good inclination over our bad inclination. That our Torah worship is not automatic, like angels, that we have make choices and then we choose the Torah. And that could be pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash says, as soon as the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, once we said Nasa v'nishma, we became the level of angels. Once the level of angels, then we not sinning anymore. Now the angels have a problem that if they're not sinning anymore, then why are you giving them Torah? So Hashem right away said, v'ikhu li truma, that they should take for me an offering, which means you should bring a tabernacle, and the tabernacle is going to be as atonement for the Jewish people, for the golden calf. So automatically Hashem is telling them that the Jewish people are going to sin. The Hashem is answering the angels, don't think that just because they achieve the level now of not having a Yetzer Hara, that they are going to maintain the level, they eventually are going to fall, and eventually, because of that, I'll have to tell them to make a tabernacle to atone for their sin, and since they are going to sin and they're going to fall, therefore they deserve to receive the Torah, because they're not in the level of angels anymore, they are human, and they choose the Torah out of their own free will, not because they are required to do. And that could be pshat on the Gemara, when the Gemara mentions that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to achzer lohem tshuva, which normally is go give them an answer, but we could make a comment. We could say that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, achzer lohem, answer them, the reason that you are greater is because of tshuva, because you are able to repent. And we know when a person repents, he could even soar higher than anybody else. But since a person repents, that means a person has a yetzer hara, because if you wouldn't have a yetzer hara, you wouldn't sin, there wouldn't be what to repent. And that is the reason that the Jewish people receive the Torah. The Jewish people are receiving the Torah because they have a yetzer hara, and the yetzer hara, unfortunately, will cause them to sin. But when they sin, they'll be able to soar higher. They'll be able to go in a higher level than Malachim, because they'll be able to do tshuva. And a place where Baal tshuva goes in, then no tzaddikim are able to go in, so they'll be able to go to a higher level. The Gemara says, the Gedoyle tshuva, the tshuva is so great, that Magias Alkisa Kovet, that goes in up to the throne of Hashem. So therefore, they are able to get closer because of the power of tshuva. They are going to sin. They are going to have Yetzer Hara. So therefore, the Torah applies to them. And how do we know that? It is because it's written, Veikholi Truma, that Hashem told us that we should receive an offering, that Hashem, right away when he said Nasa V'Nishma, Hashem already predicted that we are going to sin. Because in fact, it was Hashem himself that caused us to sin in order either to give a pischon peh excuse for somebody who does a sin. In other words, to teach a person that no matter what sin he does, he still shouldn't be discouraged from repenting. That even if you do the worst sin, like the golden calf, Hashem still accepted our repentance. And therefore, for any sin that you do, you should repent and don't feel like it won't be accepted. Like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, or because Hashem wanted us to receive the Torah, and the only way we could receive the Torah is if we actually sin. But once we sin, we require to have atonement. So therefore, right away Hashem said, Vayikholi Truma, take from me an offering. So the hint that Hashem said, Vayikholi Truma, is to hint to the angels that don't think that just because they achieved the level now of angels when they said Nasa V'Nishma, still, unfortunately, or fortunately, they have a Yetzer Hara, and because of Yetzer Hara, they're eventually going to sin. And if they're eventually going to sin, then the Torah does apply to them, so therefore we receive the Torah. And another interpretation is, a simple interpretation, that since the Jewish people said Nasa V'Nishma, and it's impossible for a Jew to keep all the Torah unless he's together by Achdus with somebody else, because there are mitzvahs that a Kohen could keep, there are mitzvahs that people living in Eretz Yisrael have to keep, there are different mitzvahs that no single Jew could keep all the mitzvahs. And since it's written on Parshas Yisro, chapter 19, Pasuk number 2, there it says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, that Israel encamped next to the mountain, and Vayichan Shom Yisrael is in a singular. So Rashi says, Ke'ish Echot Belev Echot, that we encamped like one person, with one heart, that we all unified. We had Achdus, and in that level we said Nasa V'Nishma, because that is the level that Hashem gave us the Torah. So once Hashem saw the Achdus, how we are together, then Hashem decided, to a people like that, I want to put my Shechina in them. I want to live among people that are always Achdus. So that's Pshat Nemedesh. As soon as the Jewish people said Nasa V'Nishma, and then they signified that they want to be one with one another, they want to worry about the other, and they want to become involved with one another, the one will help out the other to maintain the mitzvahs. In such people that have such unity, Hashem wants to dwell among us. So that's automatically, right away Hashem says, Vayikholi Truma, take me offering for me to come rest and build a tabernacle amongst you. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should all behave b'achdus, be unified with one another, try to help one another, try to see only the goodness in the other, and through that, then Hashem will want again to dwell among us, and He'll send Mashiach, and He'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll all come to Eretz Yisrael, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.